Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1 and verse 16. This verse, alongside many others, asserts, among other things, that salvation is conditional. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We learn that salvation is a gift. It is a gift given by God, but when man meets certain conditions. Those conditions need only be stated here for our lesson. One must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Thereafter, he is to live a faithful life as a Christian. But what is the Christian life? How can one know if he is living the Christian life if he does not know what that involves? Obviously, we must not only know what to do to become a Christian, we also must learn what it means being a Christian, what it demands upon being a Christian, what is the Christian life. When we rightly understand the religion of Christ and the Christian way, we will understand that it is to be a way of living. We live according to a certain pattern and according to a certain standard. It is not only the way that leads to heaven, which is the greatest of all of its benefits, but it governs the manner of everyday living, one's outlook on life. And this includes his attitudes and his actions and his words, his thoughts, his deeds, his goals, his ambitions. The Christian life involves every phase of life, every relationship in life, and occupies the entire person his entire time. There is never a moment when the Christian can forget that he is to be a Christian and should act accordingly. Now, we want to make a few general observations regarding the Christian life at the beginning and then concentrate upon a few specifics. Although many have chosen to reject the Christian life, friend, it is the best way of life that one can live. And this not only is so proclaimed by our Lord and exemplified in the life of Christ, but it is also attested by the thousands who strive to live the more excellent way, as Paul described it in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. The Christian life is a different way of life. It's different from the way most people live. It's different from what man would live if left to himself. It's different from the way of life one lived before he became a Christian. Those who are Christians have separated themselves from the wickedness of this world, and they are therefore a peculiar people, Titus 2 and verse 14. And while most would live in sin for self and for Satan, not so with a Christian. The Christian life is not worthy simply because it is different, but it is different because it is worthy. Now, the Christian life is a costly life. Luke 14 and verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be among you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus taught, and Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All things of value have great cost. Walking with Christ is not always the smoothest and easiest path. It is often quite difficult and very demanding. But in the long run, after all is taken into account, the cost involved in living the Christian life cannot be compared with the rewards that we receive. Philippians chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Well, with these general observations before us, let us turn our attention to some more specific characteristics of the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of faith. We believe in God because the evidence is too convincing to think otherwise. We're not blind. We're not naive. We investigate the evidence and draw the only conclusion the evidence allows. Therefore, we trust Him and we have confidence in His Word. We are assured of His power and we are given hope by His promises. We live with a trust that what He says He will do, and His will is eternally true. We may at times be beset with trials and problems, even dangers, but we are confident that ultimate victory over that which would destroy us will be ours because of Him. Paul said in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. This simply means that God has worked certain things that will be for the good of those who heed His call and that come by the call of the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Friend, this simply means that there is nothing that can happen this day that God and I together cannot handle. What a glorious promise, even for the here and now. We can face each day with a confidence and with an optimism, with a hope and with a vigor. Hardship need not lessen our faith, but only emphasizes our need of God and our dependence on God, and serve as an opportunity to endure and to be blessed, as we are taught in James 1:12. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight, confident that He careth for us and is mindful of us. He will overrule all things for us, as He sees best for us, both now and forever. Christian living is a life of faith in God. It is also a life of worship. Jesus taught, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. No person can be a faithful Christian who does not worship God. Worship is a rich and blessed privilege as well as a Christian duty. Christians never shun the opportunity to worship their Father, but they seek the occasions to worship. They never look upon worship as something that they have to do as much as something they get to do. God has authorized how His children are to worship Him, and He has revealed His way of man worshiping Him in His Word. Man cannot honor God without honoring His Word and confining himself to thus saith the Lord when it comes to worshiping God. Christians worship God through prayer and giving and singing, and by observing the Lord's Supper and teaching His Word. So vital is the worship of God that God has designated a day in which the saints are to assemble for just such purposes. And these assemblies are not to be forsaken, Hebrews 10:25. To deliberately absent oneself from a period of worship is to deliberately ignore a sacred Christian action. The Christian life is one of self-denial and service and sacrifice before God and others. Someone has suggested that Christian service is joy, which means service to Jesus, service to others, and then yourself. It is doing to others as you would have them do to you. It is being useful and helpful in those things where people are less fortunate. You do what you can to help them and to benefit them. It requires one to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, putting others first, their welfare, their happiness, their salvation, and their good, Philippians 2:3-4. Actually, friend, this is what love is: seeking the other's highest good. Behind every willing sacrifice, there is love. The selflessness of a Christian life is rooted in love. Selfishness is the source of so much of this world's problems among human relationships. This is true between nations, in homes, and even between brethren. Instead of asking, "How does this or that affect me?" the Christian asks, "How does this or that affect others?" Even more, "What does God think about it?" Christian living puts to death pride and self-righteousness and self-exaltation. Rather, it is giving of oneself to something and to someone higher and nobler. To deny self is to set our affections on spiritual and heavenly matters, seeking first things first, giving the way of Christ priority in life before everything else. You see, the prayer of the Christian life is, "Not my will, but thine be done." And along this same line, Christian life is bringing self under control. It is being disciplined. It is refraining from evil and doing that which is good. Paul wrote, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. James wrote in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It is a paradox, but the one who gives of himself the most is the one who receives the most for himself. Jesus taught, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," Acts 20 and verse 35. It is the one who becomes a servant that he will be the greatest of all, Luke 22:26. It is the one who humbles himself that shall be exalted, Luke 14 and verse 11. The one who remembers the Lord is never forgotten. And Christian life is a life of purity. The Christian is to live a pure religion, James 1:27. He is to keep himself pure, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world," Titus 2:11 and 12. We are not to love the sinful things of this world, 1 John 2 and verse 15, because friendship with the world is enmity with God, James 4 and verse 4. In a world that makes mockery of a pure life, the Christian dares to be pure in morals, in his tongue, in his thought, in his conduct, where he goes, what he does, what he condones, what he allows himself to support, and that which he is a part of, even his influence. It must be governed by Christ. Being a Christian never requires leaving off anything that's clean and wholesome and pure. Some of the most powerful negative instructions of the Bible have to do with the purity of one's life. Purity demands abstinence from all unlawful satisfactions of fleshly appetites. The works of the flesh, they are not to be a part of the Christian life, Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19. Purity will forbid lying and dishonesty and stealing and adultery, the drinking of alcoholic beverages and immodest dress, filthy habits, lascivious dancing, and such like. Purity requires producing the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, beginning. It calls for truthfulness and honesty, godly living, and being a good example. But the Christian life is also a life of growth. If we do not grow, we shall become spiritually emaciated. We are born into the family of God as babes in Christ, and as newborn babes, we are expected to grow physically, so we must be a spiritual babe to grow. We must grow spiritually after being born into the family of God. It's not a shame to be immature unless one has had time and opportunity to grow. It is shameful not to be growing, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. And growth comes by adding Christ-like virtues to our lives and to our character, just as Peter described in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. We grow by feeding upon spiritual food. Peter wrote, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And we grow by exercise. "And exercise thyself unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. And Christians are expected to grow strong. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." We stand in line for rebuke if we do not grow. The Hebrew writer said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." While the Christian life, it's not a life of perfection, it must be a life of faithfulness. We must keep on keeping on. That is what is expected of a Christian. The Christian life is characterized by a spiritual warfare. It is a fight against evil. It's a fight for that which is good. It becomes a struggle. But eventually, there is peace and contentment. There is happiness. There's consolation for all eternity. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to war a good warfare. We're to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Satan and sin, that is the enemy. Truth and right, that is the cause. The Christian life, you see, is much like an oasis in the midst of a desert. It is a haven from a stormy sea. It is a light in a world of darkness. It's a calm surrounded by a tempest. It's certainty and security in the midst of doubt and confusion. Faithfulness as a Christian, it will bring its rewards. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This, dear friend, are a few of the characteristics of what it is to live the Christian life. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.